This isn't any regular heat. This is nuclear heat. Live from the 93.7 The Ticket studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Bringing you the latest from the Square Circle on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Jake Bakovic.
Pleasure to be with you here on a Tuesday night. Another night, another excuse to talk wrestling, really. It was a great time of the year. WrestleMania 40. Some are calling it the greatest WrestleMania of all time. At least Stephanie McMahon calls it the first WrestleMania of the Paul Levesque era. So much going on there. I just did a great job altogether, bringing in some of the old stars, bringing in some celebrities. And as we're kind of inside the circle, we're inside the know of wrestling. WrestleMania season is also a time to bring in the casual fan, and the casual fan was very, very entertained, especially by that final match on WrestleMania Sunday with surprise appearances from people they know and love. But was it good enough for the critical fan is what we want to know. And that's why we're here, of course, with our own booking decisions and frustrations. It's always fun to do that as well. But it's hard to deny that this was a very successful WrestleMania. And you might disagree with this or that from it. But overall, it does feel like one of the most successful WrestleManias. And especially considering the circumstance, of course, you know, Vince McMahon is now kind of out of the spotlight with WWE. And it is now kind of Triple H's game. And it's interesting. They're moving into the Paul Levesque era, not so much Hunter Hearst Helmsley era. So very interesting just to see all the way that this plays out. But let me just ask you this, Augie, as we jump into it. Were you sports entertained?
Night two, I was. Mm. I will say that. Night two, I was. It was fun. You know, it was a lot of fun. Even those matches that were not the best and all that stuff, you know, and things like that. I mean, they were still, you know, entertaining. Like, they still had a good story and whatnot behind them. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, it was, man, especially like you said, that main event on night two, that was, man, I was jumping, you know, I was kind of like, no way. And yeah, I wanted more, you know, because they ended it at 9:40 and, you know, normally goes till 10. I wanted more. I was like, okay. I was like, start, you know, you're teasing us with this, like start bringing it. And I got a little, over with it, and it was great. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was. Again, I think it did a great job. You see like little clips of that second match, that last match there with Cody ultimately going over Roman Reigns. But again, The Undertaker and John Cena and all those folks showing up. I saw a lot of people saying that's the best 5 minutes of wrestling. And it was, I mean, it was a lot of fun. The Shield music, you didn't know was Dean Ambrose going to crawl out of the crowd Seth Rollins for a half a second. I believed it. So it was just, it was so much fun. And so let's go ahead and get into it. But though there's plenty to complain about. In fact, before we even get into WrestleMania, of course, you know, I'm a huge Andre the Giant Battle Royale fan. And if you heard me pumping that up and you're like, hey, maybe I should check out wrestling, you wouldn't have made it to WrestleMania because that was terribly booked. Just really, really bad, comical joke of wrestling. And it is somewhat meant to be that. It's not necessarily the Royal Rumble. It's a mid-card Royal Rumble, understandably. But this one was just awful. I mean, the teams were getting paired off and each getting disqualified together. Again, you could do that here and there, but they did it with every single team. I think it was Garza did the worst sell job ever of getting thrown out of the ring. You had, you know, somebody within the match just jump out. Like, you're trying to tell people how important this match is, or how, you know, and you have a comedy spot there from Elton Prince or whoever it was. And ultimately, I'm not upset that Bronson Reed wins it. I think it makes some sense. But the other thing is, too, they told us there was going to be some interesting pieces to this that weren't there. Chad Gable, Andrade. So I'm not mad that Bronson Reed won the tournament. I'm just worried how much of a shelf life that has because there are these tournaments and these things that last in WWE and then they scrap them. And Andre the Giant, with the way that it was booked, it looked like it might get scrapped. Heck, I think the worst part of it was Omos was eliminated during the commercial break. It was a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, It was one of those, like, it was almost too much that it wasn't enjoyable at parts, you know, because it was, like you said, I think you can't have a commercial break during a battle royale, you know, because Omos was being hyped up as, you know, the biggest contestant, and he gets thrown out there, and it, you know, is that, and I, you know, I'm going to say this one doesn't count because Andrade, my pick, wasn't even in the match.
That's right.
And Chad Gable, I was, you know, looking at it, and I was seeing everybody, and I'm like, right away, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, there's no Shinsuke. There's Chad Gable. There's no Andrade. I'm like, this isn't making sense. I'm like, where is everybody? And then I see it's got like Otis and, you know, like other fillers. And I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. And it, I don't know. It was very comical the whole way around. You know, Bronson Reed, though, on his part, we were talking about this. There's really, you know, you win the trophy, whatnot. He kind of got something out of it. You know, we'll talk about that on Raw, but I mean, he got a world heavyweight, you know, number one contenders match out of it. Yeah. And he looked pretty good. But when it was Bronson Reed and Ivar as a final two, I just rolled my eyes and I was like, we've talked about Ivar, you know, he's kind of a jobber, you know, the punching bag. He's a Viking. You can't do anything as a Viking. And then they expect us to think he's going to, you know, win the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. Just, it didn't happen, but you know what? I'm glad you still enjoyed it. You know, you aren't mad with, you know, the person that won.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not upset that Bronson won.
I'm not gonna lie. I was about to tune out of SmackDown because I was like, if this is how it's starting, I was like, this could be bad. But you know, it was a 15-minute battle royale. It happened. You know, Bronson Reed, I said, got something out of it. Cool statue. You know, it's a cool trophy. So,
one again, if you don't know the history of it, it started at WrestleMania. It's been relegated now to the SmackDown before WrestleMania. And it's not high priority in the company. Who usually ever gets the trophy gets it for a few weeks, and then their opponent, if some mid-card heel, breaks the trophy and they get mad. And then you just forget about it like in 3 weeks. You know, there's been some good names that have it, but I mean, you think like Mojo Rawley and Jey Uso even won it one year. Bobby Lashley won it last year. Nobody really does anything with it. I think it's kind of tough to do like a King of the Ring. Sometimes you can get the new King, you know, King Booker. Yeah. I mean, there's certain guys that be. I thought there's been some success with crowning folks in the past. Zelina Vega with the first women's Queen of the Ring. Bad News Barrett was the other one I was trying to think of. So I think that's something that they, it's still like 20% of the people that win it get anything out of it. But I've yet to see anybody really get too much of a push or too much of anything out of winning the Andre. So it is what it is. We better jump to night one of WrestleMania. We opened up with Rhea Ripley defeating Becky Lynch. I don't know the band that opened up with Rhea Ripley, but I think live music always enhances that a little bit. And this was a heck of a match. Becky had been kind of sick all week, so this was kind of the flu game for her. And they did. They put on a heck of a match, and Rhea Ripley ends up getting the win. And it looks like, to me, she's positioned, as we've seen under Triple H so far, is that he likes long title reigns. Rhea seems to be in the middle of a long title reign.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really good match, you know, and really big props to Becky. I think they said she had strep throat. You know, that's no joke, you know, when you have all that. But real quick, that band, it was fun. But that lead singer looked like Rhea Ripley. I thought that was Rhea Ripley at first. And I was like, there's something different. And then she walked out. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, you know, there's something. But that was fun. But yeah, this was a really good match. I thought it was really well booked. It told a great story, you know, which is what you always want to do. Both, you know, women put on a show, you know, they showcased everything. And there were some times where you were kind of like, is Becky going to actually get this, you know? But ultimately, you know, Rhea wins there, and she won it last year against Charlotte, right? That's when her title reign started. You know, she's going to be dominant for a while, I have a feeling. Like you said, you know, he loves those long reigns, and I think she's the perfect one to do it. I don't think they used her that great last year, you know, because she had like, what, 3-4 title defenses all year. I think that's something they got to change for this year. They got to have her pretty much every premium live event, maybe, you know, have somebody have a match, because, man, she's money. She's money in the ring. Her power, we've seen it before, but she's got that charisma, you know, she's got that attitude and just the ability to just do things that other women on the roster can't. So you really got to push that. And I mean, she's the top champion, you know, right now, her and Bayley. So, you know, you got a moneymaker right there.
Yeah, and I've seen folks that, you know, if you want to turn a heel, I mean, turning on Dom at any point is going to be wildly over. But I think it's wildly over with him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's part of the whole thing that kind of got her over is that, you know, people are falling in love with her, meanwhile hating her, you know, the guy that the mom, you know, I don't even know, Dirty Dom, I suppose. I don't know what the relationship is there. They don't really ever tell you. It's just some kind of odd relationship. But, yeah, Rhea Ripley, probably heading into WrestleMania next year with this belt would be my prediction. Then we have A-Town Down Under and Awesome Truth winning the tag teams titles, which ended up getting split here. Of course, you had a six-team tag match. The interesting part out of that is, of course, that Judgment Day doesn't retain. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. Completely didn't seem to be a problem for them on Raw after Mania. So it kind of sometimes foreshadows that maybe there's something bigger on the way there. And it did in this case, but they did split it. And you called it Awesome Truth was going to win one of them. And then I was a little bit surprised A-Town Down Under, the other selection there. They are definitely a heel tag team. So, you know, it gives you some creative stuff to do there. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I didn't think there was a whole lot of star power outside of the Judgment Day. So if you're going to give it to somebody, you know, not every one of these has to be, oh, this is going to be the next big thing. Yeah. I don't think you're necessarily going to get long title reigns out of these, but it brings the tag team division and gives it a little bit more. Now there's two titles back out there.
Yeah, and I thought this match was fun. You know, I thought it was a ladder match. I think they've now put themselves in a position. I think you got to have a ladder match every WrestleMania, because this was great. I mean, you had great spots. It was fun. You know, the team's trying to go up, the comedy, R-Truth. It was great. But, you know, it's weird because when you say it, the Judgment Day never truly looked like they were going to retain, right? Like, they were always getting attacked. They were always on the mat. Like, they interfered a couple times, but you never thought, like, oh, they're retaining one of the belts. And I thought it was funny when Grayson Waller won it, you know, everybody kind of paused and was like, oh, yeah, you know, there's a SmackDown. So it kind of gave them their flowers there. And then that spot he took when he took the dive onto the other ladder that was there. I always love those.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was great. And then, you know, R-Truth, of course, winning it, I thought was a great time. But, you know, I'll say, I thought this to me was one of the more enjoyable matches from match one. You know, I would say it's maybe the third best, you know, out there. Those guys did a great job.
Then we got Rey Mysterio and Andrade taking on Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar. Ultimately, Mysterio and Andrade get the win with a little help from Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, and I think celebrity guest appearances can be tough and tricky. You don't necessarily want to put that into the Uso feud, like a long blood feud. So while it's something that probably could have happened on a SmackDown or a match that altogether, you know, could have happened on a SmackDown without Kelsey and Johnson. Like we had been saying, we didn't feel like this was probably WrestleMania worthy, but I thought they did a great job for those that were missing a little bit of oomph. They recognized it, and that's where they placed in some of the celebrity spots. So that's what I thought was good out of this. A longer feud with these four in particular, I think, could have been a little bit more money if they had had themselves a little bit more organized. And I'm sure they're going to still try to kind of continue it going into Monday night, but I mean, as an Eagles fan, this was in Philadelphia. How did Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson go out there feel?
I thought that was fun. It was a great time. You know, pretty much as soon as I saw, you know, them, I was like, wait a minute. It's like, is that the Kelsey? At first I thought it was the Kelsey brothers, you know, and then they unmasked themselves. But another thing is, you don't realize, you know, they're big guys, but man, they looked huge compared to obviously Ray, but even, you know, Andrade and them. So I thought that was a really fun spot, and this wasn't a bad match. It was an entertaining match. Good story being told. The biggest thing to me is I think they kind of missed the mark with Carlito turning heel somewhere in there. You know, I think that was kind of expected, you know, thinking he maybe took out Dragon Lee. So, I think this feud might continue a little bit more. And they'll probably eventually do that run there, but I was very impressed, and I thought Andrade did a really good job. I guess I'd forgotten how good he is in the ring, but man, he's athletic too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a fun time.
For as long as LWO and Legado del Fantasma have been feuding, this it just seems a little mismanaged, like you're kind of saying there. And I don't know. I don't know how much more I want to see of it, but we will. We already know Dirty Dom's going to go after Andrade, but I mean, that was part of the problem is like it long. If you long term intertwine this thing, you could have gotten more out of Dirty Dom. But like he just kind of stepped in, took a loss. And then the next night he's like, we had the best WrestleMania ever because it didn't really affect what he was doing. So we'll see. I think there's some interest in him going after Andrade now. So, I mean, it does something. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, again, I think the celebrities were used well there. Then we got Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi going out and defeating Damage Control. Very much, you know, I thought the entrance looked good for the new tag team of Jade Cargill, Bianca, and Naomi. I wonder how long, like Cargill and Belair, that's the feud eventually we want to see. I don't know, you know, who's necessarily the face or the heel there. I think it would be awesome to finally switch Belair heel and see what she can do in that circumstance. But they could milk this for a while, this tag team. Are you interested in seeing Cargill and Belair and Naomi as a team? Or do you think that probably should just kind of be a WrestleMania thing and now singles competition for those gals again?
You know, I think it'd benefit her because watching her in that WrestleMania, she's very green still. She still has a lot to work on. You know, we kind of talked about, I'm just going to put in there, Tiffany Stratus. You know, we were like this. Tiffany's a lot more polished in the ring. You know, Jay just kind of has the look, the physique, but she's very stiff. It looks like, you know, she's just very raw, very power. So if she works with the Bianca, you know, she gets a tag and kind of do all that stuff. I mean, you know, that would be very beneficial. So I would like to see it. You know, I don't think you need Naomi, you know, in this. You know, she can maybe be like a third party, kind of like the Dakota Kai, I guess, of it. But no, I'm with you. I mean, Jade Cargill, Bianca, you know, if they can build that thing just right, you know, maybe have them go after the titles, maybe win it, you know, kind of have a Shawn Michaels, John Cena thing, you know, where they're kind of buddy-buddy, but not really, you know. And then, you know, go from there for WrestleMania for next year. I think you got money on your hands.
Yeah. And we'll see, too. Damage Control, by the way, put on a good match. I mean, this was a good match altogether, but a little bit, you know, choreographed.
Yeah.
You kind of could see this. It'd be surprising if Damage Control would win that one, obviously, with Jade Cargill's debut. The other thing is Bianca Belair stays undefeated at WrestleMania.
And Asuka goes to 0-7.
There you go.
They mentioned that too at the end. They're like, and she's 0-7. And that's so surprising for somebody of Asuka's caliber, you know, because they had her so built up and she's never won at WrestleMania.
I'll probably have some sort of story leading into that probably next year. I'm sorry. Probably Sami Zayn like story.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for her at some point to finally get a WrestleMania win. Then we have disappointment of the night. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. Super kick heaven. Now, these guys are some of the best super kickers in the game, but they definitely overuse that. And just altogether, again, I thought this feud, I mean, they at one time you're calling Jey Uso main event Jey. You're having him pin Roman, remember, in that tag team match. I mean, this, it just felt like after all of that, this was going to be the big payoff. And it wasn't properly taken care of in my mind, like leading up to it. It was kind of felt like the last of the bloodline feuds that matter. Jay's, you know, interested in payback, but mostly still distracted by other wrestlers, you know, not in the bloodline. And I don't know. I mean, and Jimmy's just looked like a chicken bleep heel, you know, since they did the split. And I guess just altogether, very disappointing because the bloodline feels stronger with Jay in it. So this whole thing was done basically partially for this match because you needed a heel, you needed a face, and it just didn't deliver.
Yeah, no, not at all. I agree. I think this was the most disappointing WrestleMania match of both nights. And I think they missed the mark because you talked about, I think I knew everything was going to go bad when Lil Wayne came out for Jey Uso's performance, and that was pretty bad. And then Jimmy had nothing.
Lil Wayne is... at least was awful live.
It wasn't good.
No.
And
maybe it's his age. I don't know.
And it's weird because, like you said, Jimmy and Jay seem like they have chemistry with like every other wrestler except for them, you know, against each other. And they're twins. You know, you would think this was just a very bland, you know, regular match. Like there was nothing to it. There was no stipulation. You know, there was no interference. That Rikishi, their father, who was at the Hall of Fame, you know, the night before, you thought, you know, he'd be something.
Not
solo.
Even solo guy.
Yeah, though, nothing. Yeah. You know, it was just, you allowed them. And like you said, all they did was super kicked each other. You know, later on in that second, the main event of the second night, it felt like there was more to their story when they, you know, came in to help, you know, Roman and Cody. It felt like that little like 15 seconds was a better match than this was. And you're just like, you know, come on, against your brother. This was very disappointing. I know they're probably not going to end it here, unfortunately. You know, it's going to continue a little bit more, but man, they really missed the mark with this one. And I don't know if this is, I know this is because the Bloodline just took up a lot, but that's just so disappointing.
The Bloodline's interesting, just what their next direction is going to be, because you don't know if Roman's going to be around. The Rock said he's not. Solo's considerably, I mean, at one time he had an undefeated streak. Now he's just not winning against anybody. He's taking pins left and right. And Jimmy's just a joke. So and then you have Paul there. So I don't know. It's interesting to see what they're going to pull out of their hat to keep the Bloodline going. Then we have Gunther against Sami Zayn. Great match. Ends up with a brain buster off the top rope from Sami Zayn to get the win. We had been mocking the build up to this feud and saying it's kind of ridiculous because there's no way Sami Zayn's going to win. We were way off here. And generally, I think it's well received. It was kind of the Rocky story in Philadelphia of the underdog that overcame all the odds and ends Gunther's long run. But I love the match. Give it an A+. The booking I just would disagree with. If I was going to take down Gunther's reign, I thought they built it up enough to, you know, hand it over. I mean, we've talked about, you know, some younger guys on the roster that could use the rub a little bit. And really, it was just it's like they're saving face because they did absolutely nothing with Sammy for a year. Yeah. And then, you know, right after having main event. So it was almost like in hindsight, we're going to want to make it look like Sammy still had something going. And so they gave him the victory over Gunther. I don't agree with it, but it was a great match. And in a moment that most wrestling fans, again, casual wrestling fans loved, ate this up. Maybe people that want to point out the flaws here and there dislike it a little bit more. Though it is also obvious that it's kind of opening Gunther up to move up a weight class, so to speak, from the Intercontinental title to the heavyweights.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit, though. I know you pulled the trigger on that, but it's, you know, I'll get back to the Sammy Gunther, but it's like, what are you going to do with Gunther now? You know, you don't feed him to somebody. You know, you don't put him into a feud now because he's such a big name. So he's going to have to kind of just wait his turn. That's something that makes me upset about this. You know, I know I said we'd riot, all that stuff. I still might. Who knows?
Yeah.
I was
not much of a riot.
I thought it was a 9 out of 10 match. Phenomenal. They both did great. And I will always say it about Sami Zayn. His matches are always
great. He's great in the ring, yeah.
Just, I did not think it was the right move. And I think that was kind of universally felt by us, you know, wrestling fans who actually pay attention. Just as you said, you hit the mark on all that. And I kind of knew it when backstage he was coming out. Kevin Owens was there. Yeah. You know, it was like, go get it. His wife and kid are there. You're kind of like,
they showed his wife a lot. She did a good job for not being
And Gunther, an actor. I thought Gunther did a phenomenal job because he kept looking at the wife and he was like, you know, this and that. And I thought it was funny because Gunther dominated 95% of that match, like destroying, and then, you know, was giving, you know, Sammy all these trouble, you know, finisher after finisher. And that's kind of the thing is like, you know, then Sammy does like two finishers on him, pin somebody like that. That's kind of the problem I have sometimes, you know, that's why I won't give it a 10, but it was a good match. Wouldn't be the way I booked it, but you know, you can't be mad. I mean, Sami Zayn, I think is going to do okay with the Intercontinental Championship. And I guess I'm half and half on the next feud they're going with. We'll see there, but I mean, they saved it by having a great match. I'll just say that. So, I mean, I don't really know where else to go with that other than, you know, I didn't want him to be the challenger. I didn't want him to be the one that dethrones. They threw that all in our faces there. So,
yeah, I mean, I ultimately, like, you know, I'm okay with it because I do like Sami Zayn. And I thought his like interactions with The Rock and the Bloodline, I mean, that was my favorite part of this whole story. Yeah. As we finished the story. My favorite part of the whole story didn't have anything to do with Cody. It was during that time. And again, it feels like to me, they just kind of were able to sweep under the rug the fact that they did this with Cody for a large amount of the year too, where like Cody and Sammy were just kind of generic good guys. They didn't necessarily have their own feuds, but they'd run in when a good guy needed help. And so I thought it was just kind of weird booking throughout the year for Sammy, but they didn't really give him anything. I mean, him and KO after winning those tag team titles, I mean, they should have been running through gauntlets and just kind of doing a world, you know, tour of this is the greatest tag team that won the biggest tag, and they just didn't do it. So it was kind of interesting that the way they built this up. Again, I'm interested to see where Gunther goes. The other part is Imperium's kind of disappeared on Gunther. They sure didn't build them up for Gunther's next step. So I think that's kind of interesting and of note as well. Then we have The Rock and Roman ultimately defeating Cody and Seth in the main event. I think the Philadelphia crowd was cold.
Yeah.
They were getting kind of tired. And so you had kind of this awkward, like, stare down where the crowd was, you know, you'd prefer to have the Cody chance, but it was just kind of like nothing really going on. I mean, fine enough match, not much. It was kind of just not much to really dissect here. Ultimately, Cody takes the pin from The Rock, which made me feel okay. That sets up perfectly if Cody's going to beat Roman, that eventually he's going to have to, you know, The Rock's going to have some, you know, something over him. So I thought about that, you know, going into night two, but night one kind of ended in kind of a dud where it was just, you know, which is surprising considering everybody involved. It was great to see The Rock wrestling again. But it just felt like for the buildup, it lacked something.
Yeah, no. And I agree 100% with you. It started off I was very disappointed the first 25 minutes because they didn't stay in the ring. You know, both of them went out. So the camera was showing one, the camera, you know, another. And it was very slow. It was just a bunch of one punch, throwing the prime bottle, spitting, you know, water in each other's faces. It was very weirdly booked. And then I looked at the clock and I was like, it's 8:45 and they already started this match. So I'm like, they got like an hour and 20 minutes. You know, they got to fill here. The ending, you know, I was very surprised because we had talked about it. We thought Seth was there to take that pin or cost Cody. No, this was straight up, you know.
Cody. That was part of the thing is like, I think the fans expected a Rock turn or a Seth turn and that you just had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of was like, okay, well.
And that's kind of a thing about this WrestleMania too, is they had no, aside from night one or night two's main event, they had no interference. Like if you were in a tag team or, you know, Io Sky, like, or Gunther, Imperium walked out with him and then let him walk the rest. Like, there was no interference. It was straight up one-on-one pretty much, you know, the whole way around. And, you know, it was fine. I did like when Roman speared The Rock. I thought that was fun. I was like, all right, they teasing the turn here. You know, I was like, this is it. But man, you know, Rollins and Cody got, they got beat pretty bad here. Yeah. By like a 55-year-old Rock and a champ Roman, but you know, pretty much when that happened, I think it kind of, like you said, it kind of told us all he's finishing the story night two. You know, I was very excited to see what Bloodline Rules was going to be. You know, and we'll talk about that in a little bit and find out. You know, wasn't much to be excited about.
Yeah, let's take a quick break here on Nuclear Heat, pay some bills. We'll be right back to talk about night two of WrestleMania here on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here on Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket, our WWE Week in Review, and it's the biggest week to review in wrestling, in pro wrestling, and that is WrestleMania weekend. We just went through night one. And let's jump into night two. You guys can text along if you had any thoughts as well. 402-464-5685 is our text number. So night two of WrestleMania opens up with Stephanie McMahon as a surprise, calling it the first WrestleMania of the Paul Levesque era. Of course, that we know him better as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H. So that was very interesting. Obviously, Stephanie, the daughter of Vince, she left the company before all this kind of went down. So that was a nice surprise. And I always like Stephanie's music. So I thought that was pretty good. And then talk about a heck of an opener. You have Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. Seth, as we mentioned, just coming off a loss in night one of WrestleMania and did a great job selling the importance of this championship, even crying toward the end after Drew McIntyre gets a win in just a hard fought matchup. And then the entertainment continued. Drew McIntyre walks over to his family, then walks over to CM Punk, smiling in his face, talking trash. Eventually, CM Punk has enough of it and beats up, you know, sweeps the legs of Drew McIntyre, who's up on the announcer's desk, beats him up just long enough for Damian Priest music to hit, comes out, uses Money in the Bank, and his Money in the Bank briefcase, Senor Money in the Bank, that is, and Priest walks away the champion. To me, you know, you could have maybe predicted it this way, but sometimes the most predictable way is the best way. Sometimes the predictable way is that for a reason. This seemed like the best way to do it because it leaves Drew with a champion. Like, he achieved his goal, but now he's, you know, got heat with obviously CM Punk, but also with Damian Priest. And, you know, now he's got more reason to complain about how he's never been able to hold the title in front of fans for too long and all that. So I think it does perfect for him. Damian Priest, obviously, we'll see what he can do with the title. Seth Rollins made another appearance later in the night, but he kind of took a lot of the bullets. Yeah. He called himself, he said he was going to be the Shield for Cody. He was the Shield for the WWE this time, because he definitely a lot of times felt like, you know, the third wheel, I suppose, or, you know, just not the spotlight was not quite on him this year.
Yeah, he took a lot of L's for sure. You know, he did that. But I thought this was a great match. This was a great hard hitting match. You know, Drew, as soon as the bell started, hit him with the Claymore. Yeah. And I gasped. I was like, no way. You know, I was like, because he was playing that injury. You know, he was hurt real bad night one, all that stuff. I was like, no, you know,
they've done those before, too. Those 40-second or first hit type of matches at WrestleMania. Those are fun.
Yeah. And so I was kind of preparing for that. And he kicks out and keeps going. Drew did a phenomenal job of not taking this serious. At one point, he goes, grabs his phone from his wife, and I saw he tweeted, bored at work. you know, and he got roasted, you know, on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, you know, because everybody's like, you sure about that? But I thought it was great. And then CM Punk's involvement, you know, was he's great on commentary. You know, he kept reminding the crowd, like, you know, he was giving us that wrestler's perspective. You know, they kept asking him questions, and he kind of wouldn't answer. He'd be like looking at Drew, like, why are you looking at me? You know, look at, you know, focus on there. And it was fun. You know, you gave, like you said, Drew got to finish his story because he won the title twice, but during COVID when there were no fans. So he got his moment for 5 minutes. Yeah. I called it, you know, I think we all called it, Damian, but the right move. You know, I think giving this World Heavyweight Championship to the Judgment Day, they now hold both heavyweight championships. I think that's huge. You know, that's good for their faction. They'll, you know, go on from that. They can be bigger. They can be stronger. And hey, this Drew CM Punk story, whenever CM Punk is cleared, that's going to be great. You know, I think that's going to be like a triple, you know, like a three match series there. It's going to be fun. And both of them have the ability to carry, you know, they're both really good on the mic and they're both great in the ring. I mean, hey, if they want to stretch this out to SummerSlam or possibly even WrestleMania, you know, have like a year long feud, I'd be all for that.
I think it's going to be hard to overdo it. CM Punk, obviously, again, not cleared to wrestle, but there's a difference between wrestling a match and doing a spot.
Yeah.
And as shown later by The Undertaker, you know, is that, you know, even hurt guys or old guys can come in and do a spot, get a big pop. And so they did find a way to utilize CM Punk on what in any other year of wrestling would be the biggest story of wrestling. But this year, there's just so many stories and crazy things going on. It would easily be, you know, easy for him to get overshadowed. But, you know, I think that, especially again, as an opener, having CM Punk involved, the title change hands twice, the Money in the Bank briefcase, I mean, just a lot of long-term stuff that they've been working on for this payoff. And it was fantastic. And it got you going for the night. And then I thought they did a great job of knowing, okay, after that, let's put the week edge in. I think they had the Pride, which is Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, and the final test bit next. Again, similar to the Rey Mysterio, Andrade, and Dirty Dom and Santos match, this is not one that people were waiting for and cheering at the top of their, you know. Yeah. This was a feud that just never really has a whole lot of legs. And so credit to again, Triple H and those booking in the back. Say, okay, this is where we can have some fun. Put Snoop Dogg on commentary, had Bubba Ray Dudley as a celebrity guest referee. And ultimately, you do have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits or the Pride get the win, which is just another long history for the Final Testament and specifically their leader in threatening folks and saying it's the end of the world and he's going to do... that, you know, and then losing the feud. Yeah. So for Karrion Kross, it's a WrestleMania moment, but it's more of the reason why he's why this feud never got any heat to begin with, because he's not, I mean, he's believable, but he doesn't win. You know, he doesn't win enough ever. So yeah. He loses all his feuds. And here you are again.
Yeah. And
with a faction losing now.
It was a fun match. You know, it was a Philadelphia Street Rules match with which I didn't know what that was, but it's just a no disqualification, on there. Another one of those. But, fun stuff. It is hilarious. You know, when they were trying to set up that table for the last one, the table snaps in half. They had to get another table. You can tell, the crowd's like, improvising there. It was all right. You know, this was probably the weaker one of the night, but I would still say I'd give it like a 6 out of the night. You know, it was better than the Jay Jimmy. I don't think this night really had any weak ones, but yeah, this was a filler. You know, you got us, up, ready, entertained, after the World Heavyweight Championship. And then you just got to get that one out of the way. So they did a good job.
And Bubba Ray, it was good to see him because he's a very talkative, opinionated former wrestler.
Yeah.
So sometimes he says stuff on podcasts. You're like, I don't know if they're going to have him back, but it was good to see Bubba Ray. I love the Dudley.
And I mean, he's from Philadelphia. So that kind of thing, they really did a good job of interjecting that city, everything from that city going in there. So yeah, I thought that was fun to see.
Then we have, I believe Bayley, and this might be a little bit out of order. I think I've mixed them up here, but ultimately Bayley and Io Sky go to battle. Nothing, no interference from Damage Control or nothing overwhelming here. This was again, the obvious choice, but the right choice. Yeah. I think because of some of the Damage Control distraction over the last couple of weeks took a little bit away from it. And it's just been, it feels like it's been 3 months since we know that Bayley was going to defeat Io Sky. Yeah. So kind of felt like the moment was too telegraphed. But overall, I mean, both of them can go and had a good match. Io Sky getting frustrated. Her finisher didn't work. Tried to go for it again. Ultimately gets pinned. And obviously interesting to see where they go with Bayley. And how long of a title reign she could have now as a face once again. Io, I'm a little bit worried and concerned about it. And Damage Control as a whole, you got to wonder, maybe they'll start feuding with one another. But they're going to need a new goal or a new, I don't know who their leader is. I mean, I don't know where Io Sky goes from here.
I kind of always get worried about like these one-off championship matches that they kind of build up because they're supposed to be a rematch somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So it's really depending on where they do this rematch for Io. Is she going to take a little bit of time before she comes back at Bayley, or does this feud continue? Because what they have at WrestleMania Backlash or Payback or something like that. Pretty much all the matches happen again. I thought it was a good match in there. I hate when they do the injury cell, but and that's what Bayley did the whole time. Like she hurt that knee that she's had surgery on. But you have to even the playing field because I think realistically, we talk about it,
It's not very big.
Yeah, Io's not very big. So you don't really think she'd do that. But they had some great spots in there. I'm with you. I mean, other than getting that rematch with Bayley, I don't think there's much for Io to do right now, to really keep her there. And then with Bayley, it's kind of curious because you kind of look at the roster. Who, you obviously can't throw anybody big at her right now, because you want her to have a championship reign. You don't want to ruin anybody. You look at it, you're kind of like, who's next for her? Who would you feud with outside of Damage Control?
Probably Nia Jax.
Oh my gosh, please stop. Don't. I can tell by the look on your face. You were going to say that. I knew that's what you were going to say.
Your favorite wrestler, Nia Jax, might be the next matchup feud there. Fits perfectly for somebody you don't think quite going to get the win, but
that is true. I guess I'd be okay with that if she does that, one of these filler premium live events. That'd be fine. Yeah.
Then we move on. Slim Jim LA Knight defeats AJ Styles. They really leaned into Slim Jim, which I think for the commercial was great. Because obviously just the it goes back to the days of Macho Man Randy Savage and Slim Jim. And it's weird to say this, but there's just something about that's so nostalgically wrestling of the 90s that it works, even though it was a little too much.
It was.
It was a lot of Slim Jim. He was even dressed with the Slim Jim colors. Yeah. But ultimately, LA Knight gets his victory over AJ Styles. I think a lot of wrestling fans really enjoy this just because LA Knight had his moment. Had his WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good match, too. They put on a good story. Speaking of Slim Jim, when he gave that car away, it was like a 70, 60-year-old lady he gives a sports car to. And you're kind of sitting there like, man, you're like, maybe I should enter in those Slim Jim competitions a little bit more, you know? But no, I thought it was funny. You know, speaking on all that, because WWE literally, I think, had a different advertisement for every match, you know, dude, why, you know, all stuff, which I laughed a little bit about in there. So, but I, you know, I thought this was a great match, and hopefully they move LA Knight up a little bit, because I think he showed, you know, he and AJ Styles can really do something there. Or I mean that, you know, LA Knight can really, you know, can be good in matches is what I'm trying to say there. And all that. So I'm hoping there's more in store for him. But, you know, I was a little disappointed that, you know, pre-WrestleMania, this is where they're going. But I watched the match. I was like, this was fine. You know, this is a good first WrestleMania match for him to be in.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of agree with that sentiment. One time it felt like LA Knight maybe was primed for such a historic rise that he could be, you know, the main event player. Didn't quite get there. You know, there's no title on the line. I'm still interested for him to go after a title, but we'll kind of see what they go for from here. Speaking of a title, Logan Paul defended the United States title against KO and Randy Orton. I was very intrigued. I mean, Logan Paul did the whole, you know, everything with the prime, you know, entrance and everything. I thought that was cool. I love KO with the golf cart and Randy Orton jumping on the back. Of course, KO and Randy at some point had to start swinging at each other. They kind of had a fun. They're going to do a rock, paper, scissors to see who'd get the pin. So they kind of had more fun with that, which I thought was kind of refreshing, because I thought for weeks leading up to it, like, they're just going to do the turn and it's going to be so obvious. And then you got the three of them, you know, angry and foaming at the mouth at WrestleMania. But instead, they kind of kept KO and Randy just kind of, you know, as partners, but understanding that they'll eventually have to go to battle. Logan Paul, though, retains. This was not after his prime buddy got hit.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. I understand that younger people do. He's a big deal on the internet.
Yeah.
But in any case, Logan Paul gets the win. And this was a very hard one to predict, because they could have went any which way. I thought KO was going to get it just to do to complete the Sami Zayn KO, you know, kind of story or revisionist history type of deal, where, like, we took care of these guys. And then the next year they leave as Intercontinental and US champ. Randy, obviously, with the RK out of nowhere, can win any title at any time, and it's believable and good work. But going with Logan's interesting. There must, you know, with the prime deal, the more Logan does well, and I think the belt on him kind of helps exemplify that, the better, the more eyes are drawn to wrestling. So I think it's a good way to book it. And, you know, Logan's already, if he stopped here, would be a first ballot WWE Hall of Famer as far as a celebrity, but he's just got the skills that if he wants to be the Miz, he could do this for, you know, the next 15 years. He's young, he's athletic. So I'm really interested to see where they go with Logan Paul. But right now, they know he's hot. He's signing deals with WWE. Yeah. You might as well keep it rolling.
I mean, I'll just say his in-ring performance as well. I wouldn't be mad if they had him go after a main event title. I mean, he just does such a great job. And when that prime bottle came out with him, I was curious. I was like, okay, who is it? I was like, is it Jake?
Yeah.
I was like, is it KSI?
Yeah.
And then it was Speed. He's a famous YouTuber, does a lot of soccer. I'm a big soccer fan, so I kind of know that. But that was a hilarious spot there. You know, he decided to talk trash to Randy Orton and then, you know, paid for it.
Didn't work
for him. But I thought this was another good match, you know, which we thought it would be. The only thing is, I love Randy Orton as a heel. I understand, you know, they kind of want him as a babyface right now, but, you know, he had the chance with the brass knuckles and he gave it to the ref and things like that, kind of confused everybody. He was going for that punt, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a great moment.
He was going to punt him. And I was like, I was sitting there. I'm like, I thought that was banned, you know, and things like that. I'm like, oh, we're bringing that you know, the Legend Killer, the Viper back. But, you know, it was a fun match. And yeah, like you said, I mean, Logan Paul is one of the top YouTubers in the world, podcasters. He has everything. So the WWE, I think, did the right thing by keeping him or keeping the belt on him, keeping him around for kind of as long as you can, because he's going to sell.
Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll talk about the main event of WrestleMania and then a little bit of Raw after Mania to round up the show. This is Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Good to be with you once again here on a Tuesday night, the Tuesday after WrestleMania. That's a pretty big deal. No, I guess that's not it. It's the Raw after WrestleMania. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But before that, we got to get into the main event of night two of WrestleMania. Cody finishing the story and beating Roman Reigns. Of course, they had a long match back and forth between each other before the bloodline rules set in, which pretty much just meant, yeah, I suppose, anybody can come out. And that's just about what happened. Yeah. So Jimmy comes out to help support Roman. And he's met by Jey Uso, who eventually tackles Jimmy into a table. And so those guys are kind of eliminated. And Solo comes out.
Yeah.
He does the, you know, his finisher along with Roman's spear on Cody. And I thought that might be the end. But Cody gets out of that. And then John Cena's music hits. He makes a surprise stop to come knock Solo out of there. And then, of course, it is time for The Rock to come in and take care of John Cena. So that was a WrestleMania main event 10 years ago, whatever it was. So that was kind of a cool stare down. The Rock gets that done. And then the surprise of all surprises. Well, first, Seth's music hits, yeah, as the Shield music. And so obviously with Dean Ambrose or Jon Moxley over in AEW, it just felt like, would they do this without Moxley? Yeah. I mean, and that would be the surprises of all surprises. But ultimately, it was just Seth, but he dyed his hair between, yeah, them. I mean, he was in full Shield gear and went out and later took a, it was just perfect storytelling, long-term storytelling, because he took the same chair shot that he gave to Roman Reigns when he broke up the Shield. And he took that chair shot instead of Cody.
Yeah.
And he told him he would be the Shield for Cody. So just very great storytelling there. But ultimately, the Undertaker's,
yeah,
music or the dong, you know, hits, and you're just like, what? Because he has been retired. He had his, yeah, retirement match, but he is very much, you know, in WrestleMania lore. He takes out The Rock, and eventually Cody hits enough of the crossroads, hits three of them on Roman to get the win and finish the story. Yeah. We've mentioned not exactly, weren't all along, you know, for the Cody finishing his story and getting the win. But how did this finish off the night as well as it did for the rest of the internet wrestling community, just people in general, really eating up this match?
Yeah. This filled my, you know, wrestling heart. You know, Cena, The Rock, Undertaker. I mean, seeing all them and, you know, being mixed into this, you'd heard rumors and things like that, but seeing how they executed that was fine. And, you know, Cody and Roman, their match too was hard hitting. You know, there wasn't a whole bunch of slow there, you know, they were going at it. And it was fun, you know, like, you know, we had both admitted we weren't big Cody fans and stuff like that, but it was a fun sight to see him finish his story here. And I think when Roman takes that pin, you also realize just how much Roman kind of saved the WWE in these last 4 years, you know, putting the pandemic, all that stuff. They did a great job. I mean, that bloodline storyline was probably one of the best storylines of all time. You know, just everything going at little pieces. And like you said, you know, him choosing to get payback from 10 years ago, you know, when Seth betrayed him, you know, to hit Seth instead of Cody, and that cost him. The little storytelling in there was just, it was phenomenal. It was amazing. The only thing I'll say is the celebration afterwards when everybody comes out, his family,
all the good guys.
They did that for 20 minutes. I thought that was a little much. No confetti either, you know.
And I get
it because it was outside, and there were heaters, so I get that part, but no confetti. And yeah, it kind of went on for 20 minutes, you know. I kind of wanted more, like, you know, of a wrestling match because they ended it at 9:40, but you know, it was fine. It was good. And I think, you know, ultimately, you know, Roman's still dealing with leukemia and things like that. It would be good for him to take time off. And we'll see what they do with Cody now as their champ.
Yeah, obviously Cody's run and how long he's going to be able to do that and be the top face at the top of the company will be fascinating. But also the Roman part, like you said, is he going to take a significant break? Because when he did have to take that, when he did have that battle with leukemia and took that break, it wasn't for that long, but it was very noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, I was not the biggest Roman. If you remember around that time, it was, you know, he was super Cena Roman.
Yeah.
Right? He was just being pushed down your throats so often. And you know, he's getting into dogfight feuds with Baron Corbin. you know, so it was just, it wasn't like, so at the time I was like, well, okay, let's see what they can do without him. And I didn't, you know, I just kind of had my other favorites in the company. And then that time off really let me know, like, man, he just brings so much to it. So, you know, they got CM Punk. They have The Rock, you know, they've got a lot of different guys mixed in. And so they're in a better place than they were at that time as a company. We'll see if he takes an extended time. The wrestling does feel a little bit without something with Roman out there. Quickly, Raw after WrestleMania. Not too much to talk about here. Cody Rhodes did kick off the show with The Rock. The Rock said basically gave Cody something, then said he's going to leave for a while. But when he comes back, he's going after Cody Rhodes. Also had, you know, great interaction with the crowd. Other than that, you had John Cena come out and help the Awesome Truth defeat Mysterio, McDonough, and Balor. That was entertaining in not too serious way to at least include Sami Zayn or Cena again on the WrestleMania weekend. Sami Zayn and Chad Gable defeat the Imperium, but it sets up Sami Zayn and Chad Gable for next week's Raw. I think that'll be good in Sami Zayn's hometown. Probably Sami going to get the win. We've argued that Chad probably maybe should be in Sami's position, but it at least is interesting. Jade Cargill squashed Chelsea Green. I thought that was very entertaining. Yeah, Chelsea Green still very much on character. And then the Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match for a World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso beating McIntyre, Reed, and Ricochet. McIntyre in a position to win, but CM Punk gets the distraction. Jey Uso looked like he's going to get the first shot there. Also, Uncle Howdy kind of mix-ups there. That's interesting coming off the Bray Wyatt documentary that's been released. So we're running out of time here, so we had to kind of go through that quickly. But Raw after WrestleMania is always one of my favorites of the year. I thought it was interestingly enough, and it kind of turns the page, turns the calendar to a new year of wrestling, fresh feuds, and fresh things to look forward to.
Yeah, and they kept saying, you know, they kept promoting this is the Paul Levesque Triple H era, you know, the new era. So I'm curious to see, you know, who gets to kind of show their stuff during it, because I don't feel like they're going to recycle a lot of these matches. The only thing is Jey Uso winning and being Damian Priest's first feud. I'm interested to see where that's going to go.
Yeah, I think it's a good one, like we were kind of saying earlier, where it's a good one for Damian Priest to get one under his belt. I don't think Jay's has too much of a chance to win that one.
They better not.
certainly coming out of WrestleMania, Damian has a lot more than Jey has going for him. But Jey's still very over with the crowd. So, not necessarily appointment television.
Yeah,
I'll say that. So that's kind of interesting. What they do there. All right, that'll wrap it up for this week's rendition WrestleMania review edition here of Nuclear Heat. We'll be back next week as we do turn the calendar on the new year of wrestling, and we will review Raw and SmackDown, or SmackDown and Raw, excuse me, of next week. Stay tuned. More coming up on 93.7 The Ticket.